Welcome everyone to pre-Shabbat meditation. Today is the 28th of February, the 30th of Shvat, also known as Rosh Chodesh Adar, the first day of Rosh Chodesh. So we're coming to a very special Shabbat after a rather sad week. This week, of course, the whole of Am Yisrael, all Jewish people, I think all over the world, fair to say, were very moved and touched and pained by the funeral of a mother and two young children, the Bibas family. And it's just really, there's no words to describe the tragedy and the sadness. We also know in the Jewish response, our response has to be, of course, one of feeling the pain, being very connected to it, but at the same time, not losing, not letting the situation get us down, but standing tall and proud, as their souls would definitely want us to be, and being strong with our Judaism, with our pride, with our belief in Israel, and just standing tall as Jewish people, undefeated. I think this is all very much connected to this coming Shabbat. This coming Shabbat is a really special Shabbat. In fact, if you go to the synagogue tomorrow, if you go to shul, you will see something very unusual and rare tomorrow in shul, where we take out three Torah scrolls. The reason we do that is because tomorrow is the regular Parsha, Parshat Truma. We also have Rosh Chodesh, the first day of Adar, and every Rosh Chodesh we read an extra special piece. And around this time of the year, there are four special things that we do, two before Purim, two after Purim, known as the four portions, the four Parshiyot, the Dalet Parshiyos, and tomorrow is the first one, where we read about the mitzvah of the half a shekel. So let's just take this one by one and understand it. So tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh Adar. Rosh Chodesh Adar is the first day of the month of Adar, the month which contains Purim. But as we are taught in the Megillah, in the story of Esther, that when the decree of the evil Haman was taken away and the Jews were able to fight back and won, essentially, it says that we remember the festival of Purim, we observe Purim each year, we observe the and remember the month, the Chodesh, the month Asher Nehepach Lahem, that was transformed from distress to joy, from sadness to happiness, and so on. In other words, a whole month thing. And indeed, the Talmud tells us, Mishenichnas Adar, when Adar comes in, Marbim b'simcha, we increase in joy, we connect to joy, we connect to happiness, we try to participate and experience pure joy and experiences of joy and so on. Now we know the concept of simcha, of joy, is simcha paretz geder. Simcha breaks all boundaries, joy breaks boundaries. So I can't think of anything more appropriate. After a week like this, we are ready to draw down the joy. We believe and we trust and we really have faith in Hashem that things will turn around and that we will be able to have a real month of true simcha. Mishenichnas Adar Marbim b'simcha. And of course, Shabbat is not just a Rosh Chodesh, but we know Shabbat is also a day that gives blessing to the week. So let's hope this Shabbat, being a Shabbat of Rosh Chodesh Adar, actually brings real blessing to the coming week, blessings of real joy and happiness and good news and strength for each other. We also mentioned this idea that we read about the half a shekel. Let me just give you the context. So the half a shekel was a yearly mitzvah in the time of the temple, where every year during the month of Adar, they would give a half a shekel. Each person was like a tax on each family. We were half a shekel, and that money was used then to bring the korbanot, would bring the sacrifices. The very first time that God gave this mitzvah to Moshe Rabbeinu, he said that when you count the Jewish people, you should count them with a half a shekel. They shouldn't be people not allowed to be counted. So we're going to count the coins instead. But he also said that this mitzvah of half a shekel was sort of an atonement for the golden calf. Now, half a shekel is a type of currency. In other words, in the ancient times, a shekel was a certain type of currency, and half a shekel is half a shekel. And yet, the Midrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu found this mitzvah very difficult. He couldn't understand what it means. What is a half a shekel? What does it do? What is it? And God, it says that the Midrash says that God helped him, and he showed him a coin of fire. Matbeah shel esh, a coin of fire. And the Kabbalists asked the question, what was bothering Moshe Rabbeinu? What didn't he understand? Now, there is a different instance where we find that Moshe Rabbeinu was was finding something very difficult, and Hashem helped him out. And that is this week's parasha with the building of the menorah, the candelabra. The candelabra, the very difficult and intricate design that was used in the temple. And Moshe Rabbeinu was told that they have to design in such a way where it comes from one solid piece of gold. So you've got to engrave and knock and then sort of redesign and reshape the piece of gold until you come up with that perfect design, which is, of course, very, very difficult. And Hashem said, throw the gold into the fire, and out will come the menorah. That's understandable. When it comes to a currency issue, a half a shekel, what's so difficult to understand about the half a shekel? And what he's answered by showing him the coin of fire. And there's many perspectives. Here's one beautiful perspective found in the commentary, and that is the following: that when you the purpose of the half a shekel, which God said everyone has to give half a shekel, no one can give more, no one can give less. The symbolism of the half a shekel was God showing us that alone we are incomplete. That we're only something whole when we connect with others, connect with another person, with other people. When we truly connect and we unify and we're achdut and have true unity, Jewish unity and Jewish love for each other, that's when we become whole. But alone, if we do things, if we're doing good things, but when we're alone, it's a existence of imperfection and we're only half. And the commentaries say like this: this is what Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to understand. Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to understand, how can you be truly united with someone else? I know we talk about kindness and unity and love for a fellow Jew and so on. As the Torah says, "Ve'ahavta l'recha, love your fellow like yourself." But the truth is, do we really like others like ourselves? Do we really unite with others and become one with them? We might be kind, we might be empathetic, we might be compassionate, we might help and care for and so on, but people are different. We are different. We are conflict with each other. It's very difficult to demand and to expect this concept of oneness, real unity. If we think about what real unity is, it's actually quite a difficult thing to expect us to do. Said God, I'll show you. I'll show you the coin of fire. The fire is a symbolism of the Shekhinah, the divine presence. God is often compared to the idea of warmth and fire, fiery fire, right? God said, you know how you become one with another? It's true. People are different. People are very different. But when you subscribe, when you surrender, when you submit to a God, the Eish, the fire, the Shekhinah, the divine presence, the divine presence. When you, each of you, when you first submit, you have faith in Hashem. You subscribe to Hashem's values and the moral compass of the Torah. You live for a higher purpose as dictated and guided by God in His Torah. What that does is it makes everyone have higher values, makes everyone surrendering and submitting to something far beyond them. We're all surrendering to the same thing, and that's how we bring oneness. Through cleaving and connecting to Hashem in the proper way, that's how we're able to connect and be truly united with someone else because we really, in essence, are one. The Rav Shneur Zalman of Lavdi, the Alter Rebbe, explains this in the book of Tanya, when he, in the famous chapter 32, when he asks, how can you truly love someone else? And he says, it depends what you're looking at. If your focus is on your body, your physicality, very difficult to truly love someone like yourself because we're all different. However, if the focus is the soul, the neshama, and the neshamot are intrinsically connected because they're godly infusion, they're part of the one God, the God's reality. And therefore, if you give the neshama the focus and priority, that's how we become truly united with each other. Which is why, of course, the famous story in the Talmud when the convert came to Hillel and said, convert me, but I want you to teach me the entire Torah on one foot. He answered, what you don't like done to yourself, don't do to others. In other words, love of a fellow. And the rest of the Torah is commentary. What does that mean? So he explains over there that the commentary is because you can only come to really love someone else if you give your neshama priority. And when you give your neshama priority over your body, over your physicality, over your materialism, that is, in fact, the foundation of the whole Torah. That's how we want to connect to something more higher than ourselves. When we understand and appreciate the value of the soul. So therefore Hashem said, I understand your difficulty. The question is good. How can you really be one with the other? The answer is the coin of fire. Connect to the fire. Everyone has to connect to that one fire, the divine presence, the divine values, and then we become one in a true level because we all are submitting to the same reality and the same value system, the same Torah. That's such an important lesson. Finally, the first Sefer Torah that we take out tomorrow is to read the Parsha. And the Parsha, of course, is the building of the Mishkan, building of the tabernacle for God. So we have the famous Pasuk, the famous verse where Hashem says to the Jewish people, V'asuli Mikdash, says to Moses, tell the Jewish people they will make for me a sanctuary, V'shachanti b'tocham, and I will dwell among them. And of course, question is obvious, the grammar is problematic. It should say, build for me a sanctuary and I will dwell in it. What does it mean I will dwell in them? So we learn in the writings of the rabbis that it means betoch kol echad ve'echad. I want you to build a Mishkan as a formula, but I am going to actually dwell within each and every single person. This is a Shabbat where we are reminded that we need to make our home a sanctuary to God. We need to make ourselves a Mishkan, which is really a little bit similar to the first two things we explained, because the idea of chatzi shekel, a half a shekel, also is this idea we said is imperfection, and the only way we bring that oneness is by connecting to others, which the only way to do that is by submitting to the values of the Torah and God's values in His Torah. So therefore, the same idea, when we do that, we live a ha we have a home where we light Shabbat candles, we do mitzvot, we have Jewish books, and we learn. We are creating a sanctuary. We're creating a oneness between us and God comes to dwell within us, not in it, but in us. Every home, every person, really, is a mini Mishkan. So it's a powerful, powerful Shabbos. Let's hope the Shabbos will bring a lot of blessing to the world, as it always does. This Shabbat particularly will be a source of inspiration. There are so many streets in Israel that the streets are just lined with there's just an atmosphere of love, of connection, of dedication, and let's hope the Shabbat can bring it to us as well, where we are awakened and awakened like they are, and awakened with a real soul, a real neshama, and let's only hear good news and a really chodesh tov and chodesh sameach. Again, remember, mishenichnas Adar, when Adar comes in, marbim b'simcha, we increase in joy. And let it be a month filled with simcha and good news. Have a Shabbat Shalom, everyone.